You know, we've got something to look forward to. You know, that song right there, Ted, says it all. You know, we're not going to have to worry about anything anymore. We're not going to get sick. We're not going to do anything that we've done here on this earth. We will have no remembrance of it. And as I said before, God has led me to Acts 4, verse 24. And I'm not going to make you stand. You don't even have to read along. Just follow along in your Bibles. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for hat comforts. But Lord, also we thank you for hat convicts. Lord, we remember the day, Lord, when you saved our old wretched souls, Lord. I remember in Chase Baptist Church, Lord, I sat on the back pew for a long time. But Lord, you spoke to me, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for a lost and dying world out here, Lord, that needs Jesus. That, Lord, that people would come to know you as Savior and Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be able to go out, whether it be in a rest home or in a church or wherever it might be, Lord, that you've called us to bring the word of God, Lord, that we'd not be heard, that you'd be heard, and we'd not be seen, that you'd be seen, Lord, that I'd get out of the way, Lord, that you'd get in the way. And, Lord, I pray for Brother Craig as he travels. Lord, just bring him back to us safe. And, Lord, I pray for little Rahab tonight. Lord, she's a little bit sick. Lord, we just ask you to heal her body in accordance to your will. And, Lord, I pray for my son as he's working. And, Lord, I just ask you to be with him. And, Lord, we ask that, and I pray, Lord, for this nation, Lord, that we turn back to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to bring this to you tonight. God has laid this on my heart. The power, as I said before, I believe a better title for this would be the power of the one that hung on the cross. And that's Jesus Christ. See, if it hadn't been for him, we'd not, any of us, not anybody in this whole world would have a chance. We've got people out here in these days saying there's many ways to God. No, there's not. There's only one. John 14, verse 6 tells us, Jesus said, he was speaking to the disciples. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now see, he's it. And no matter what educated person will tell you, oh, there's more than one way to God. No, there's not. That Bible right there says it. There's not but one, and that's Jesus Christ. And as in your reading here, it said these people lifted their voices to God. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to praise God. God is the Most High. He is the one and only God Almighty. We are to assemble ourselves together. See, there's a lot of people out here that will tell you that they read the Bible and they believe in Jesus, but they will not go to church. And I'm not saying church makes you saved, because it don't. What makes you saved is the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. It's through his blood. It's not by the blood of anything else but him. It's about him. And it said in your hearing, it says, Lord, thou art the God which hast made heaven and earth. See, these people were telling him this. He knew it, but he wanted to hear it come from their heart and then in their mouth. They just wasn't speaking it. At that point, they really believed it. Jesus Christ. And I want to stop right there and say something. I remember hearing this from the time I was a child. I've heard preachers say that Jesus Christ didn't appear to the New Testament. Let me tell you something. He was God. It says in God's word that he put on a robe of flesh and dwelt among us. He just didn't appear in the New Testament when he was born. He's always been. And people get this idea that he was just seen in the New Testament. No, he created everything that you see. And a lot of things that we haven't seen. He created it all. He's the creator of everything. He's the master. He has the power. See, he has always been. And people might ask you, where did God come from? He didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. And people think that he had to come from somewhere. No, he's God. He's the God of our fathers. Acts 5 verse 30 talks about this. Acts 5 30. Acts 5 verse 30 talks about this. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. See, he hung on an old cruel cross for a lost and dying world. See, and I preach a sermon, and I'll preach it here Sunday. It's called The First Volunteer. You know, you think, when you hear about volunteers, you think about the state of Tennessee. That's their nickname. That's their college's nickname, the University of Tennessee Volunteers. But Jesus Christ, the Son, the only begotten Son of God, was the first volunteer. See, he said, I'll go. He said, I'll die for that lost and dying world. And he volunteered to do it. He didn't have to. The glorious lines of patriarchs, prophets, and kings, whom ye slew. And this glorious one, that's Jesus Christ, the sent of the God of our fathers. You know, we're just as guilty, and just as our sins just as much put him on the cross as those men when they drove the nails in his hands and feet. That is just as much our fault, because he died for all our sins, past, present, and future. That's what he did for us. Hey, he did something. My mom and daddy, as much as I love my mom and daddy, they're gone on to be with the Lord. My mom and daddy couldn't do it. My brother couldn't do it. My cousins couldn't do it. Grandmas and grandpas, uncles, aunts, and cousins couldn't do it. Jesus did it all. If he never blessed me another blessing, he did it all on the cross because of what he did. He loved this old lost and dying world. He shed his precious blood and rose again for a whole lost and dying world. This death was pronounced accursed. Now let me explain that a little bit. See, they tried, the Pharisees tried their best to make Jesus look bad. They wanted to make him look like a criminal so people would quit following him, but they didn't get the job done. There's people all over this world that still love the Lord. They want people to know Jesus, and we can't force them. If they don't want to accept him as their personal Savior, all we can do is tell them about him. And if they receive him as Savior, that's great. But if they don't, we're to shake the dust off of our feet and go on down the road. That's all we can do. We have to. And I'm 60 years old now, and I'm still learning. Back in my younger days of being a Christian, I got saved when I was 13. And I would witness to people. Now, I don't want to hear none of that. It used to offend me. And I even talked to my parents about it one time. My dad told me, he said, Brian, you just got to give it to them, and said, "What they'll do with it what they will. And ain't nothing else can be done." And but we get offended sometimes when people don't want to listen. Hey, all God tells us to do in his word, tell them. When they'll do with it what they will. Tell them. That's what we got to do, is tell them. We don't do it enough. We think when we leave this church, that's the end of our obligation. We've done our duty for Sunday and Wednesday. No, we're this is like boot camp or having a drill instructor. When we go, we're to be trained in here to go out there and tell people about Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. And I'm taking a class on the side. I'm doing a discipleship training class on Monday morning. Even at 60 years old, I still need the refresher course every once in a while, something like that. But God burdened my heart because I see people, when I grew up, for probably the first 17 to 20 years of my life at Chase Baptist Church, and I saw it there, and I've seen a lot of other churches. When somebody gets saved, they're just sort of sit on the bench, God bless you, and that's about the end of it. And that's what is wrong. I've heard people, and I've even said this myself. I know there's some people that's got out here and probably take drugs and sell drugs and all that stuff. And then you see them get saved, and then the next thing you know, they're turned right back around, back out in the world again. And the reason why a lot of times is this. People don't disciple them. They just, like I said, sort of set them on the bench. And they you know, do the best you can. Hey, they don't know how to live the Christian life. Neither do we. Because here's why we don't. We cannot live a Christian life within ourselves. Just our flesh. We can't do it. We have to rely on the Holy Ghost to help us, to guide us. And we have to train people to teach them how to live the Christian life. They tried to make Jesus look like a criminal, but he was not a criminal. He never did a wrong thing. He never thought a wrong thought. He never sinned. Now, ain't that something? He never, N-E-V-E-R, he never sinned. Acts 14:22 talks about exhorting them to continue in the faith. You know, sometimes we get discouraged, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Hey, Christian life's not easy life. Even, and I'm going to tell you something else I heard when I was a child. But the older I get, the more I understand that what I heard wasn't true. I've heard preachers say, it's just going to be a blessing. It's going to be easy. This and that and the other. Hey, you just started having trouble because the devil is going to try to throw his fiery darts at you and me. And that being a Christian is not easy. But I've heard preachers in my younger days say, yeah, it's going to be easy life. No, sir, it's not either. If you believe that, man, stand on your head. That's not true. We got to continue in the faith. And we are going to have trials and tribulations. We must have faith in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. We should be happy people. We need to carry our cross daily and follow Jesus and have a willing heart to do so. One of these days, after a while, sorrows will end. And he died, Jesus died unto sin once for all. See, that's out of Romans 6, verse 10. See, there is where the Pentecostal holiness, think that you can lose your salvation, but you can't. Because it says in here, God says in his word, you cannot be plucked out of my hand, period. I don't care. I mean, I can't even pluck me out of his hand. If I wanted to be plucked out of his hand, I can't do it. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Once is all it took. He ain't going to have to die again. He will not. He won't have to, because he took care of it all. Now we should have a life unto God. He triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's out of Romans 12, verse 21, and 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He did it all on the cross. His power, honor, and glory. He had the power to do good. The word of the cross is to them which are perishing foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. Now, you've got people out here that claim to be Christians. And what man has done is this. Man has decided he's going to put his own ideas in God's house. And what I mean when I refer to that is this. The Presbyterian Church, this has been like a year ago, one of my preacher friends, Wayne Toney, saw it on the computer. He said, the World Council of the Presbyterian Church has voted to allow homosexual preachers in their pulpits. Now, that's man's idea. Where's it at? Where's it at in here? It's not. Because God says that is a sin. And it's not just in the Presbyterian church. It's in the Episcopal church. It's even in some Baptist churches. And but man has put his own idea that he knows he's smarter and he knows more than God does. That's why man does the things he does. But people need to understand, hey, this is what we follow. This King James Bible is what we follow or what we're supposed to follow. this world calls the cross and God's word foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. See, salvation. And I'll give you a little example. I talked to somebody one time. They told me that they had led a lesbian to the Lord. I asked this person. I said, did you tell them everything? Did you tell them the consequences of not getting saved? This person told me no. I said, better go back and tell them again. I said, you didn't tell them the whole truth. See, that's what's wrong. People want to leave things out. Oh, we're not going to say nothing about that. We have got to tell them the whole truth. If you just tell half truth, you've told a whole lie. Because people need to understand, we got to tell it all. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the weakness of God in the gospel is stronger than the strength of men. See, if we do things in our own strength, in our flesh, it won't stand. It won't stand. For he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth through the power of God. For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God toward you. He gave himself for our sins, Galatians 1, verse 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, this world is evil. According to the will of God and our Father, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death, Philippians 3, verse 10. Now, that's the one problem that the church has today, conforming to God, to his will. See, that's just like I was saying just now about witnessing. We have got to conform to God. We cannot do what we want to. We must conform to him. We must do what he says, not what we want to do. Hebrews 2, verse 15, through dying he conquered death, his death on an old rugged cross, that he might destroy death. And that was in the power of God. Hebrews 5, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, his earthly life, especially in the closing part of it, his death was glorified. His death also glorified God the Father. God the Father. He is without mother and father. He has a heavenly Father only. His humanity had a mother. He is our priest king. He is forever, continually, the one and only king. See, he's the one and only. There is no other. If we are persecuted for the cause of Christ, we should praise God, because the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. 1 John 3, verses 8 and 9. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. That is why Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. He cannot sin because he is begotten of God. They led Jesus. Now we're going to look a little bit here at the crucifixion. They led Jesus to Pilate. It's out of Luke 23, verses 1 through 56. They condemned Jesus to death. They wanted rid of him. They wanted him silenced. They wanted what was going on to cease, but that didn't happen. Today, strong conservative Christian preachers are going all over the world preaching Jesus. There are places and people who don't want to hear the gospel. Pilate would ask Jesus questions, but Jesus didn't answer him. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. See, Pilate said he didn't find any fault in him. If he should have stood up for Jesus. And he should have said, now I'm going to let him go. There's no evidence against him here. But see, they got fierce and they got mad because they probably knew that he was thinking about letting him go, but he didn't stand. There are so many of us that are Christians, we don't stand. We get scared. Hey, we're on the winning side. We don't have anything to be scared of. But people don't want to tell the whole story. There are people that are scared, and I'm not excusing them. I'm just saying there are places and people who don't want to hear the gospel. They said Jesus was perverting the nation. I believe that's what they're saying about America. Those of us that are saved, I believe that's what they're saying about us if we stand up for Jesus. But people don't want to hear it. They want to hear about Islam and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhism and all that other stuff, but they don't want to hear about Jesus. If they don't understand this, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and there's a lot of people don't like what I'm about to say. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ and you don't get saved, you're going to a place called hell. And a lot of people don't want, well, you don't know to talk about hell. Well, no, we should. We need to. The Pharisees wanted rid of Jesus. Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, thou sayest it. That's all Jesus ever said. That's all Jesus said to him. Pilate said he didn't find any fault in Jesus. They became more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people throughout Jewry. In other words, throughout the nation of the Jews, he stirred them up. Well, we need to get stirred up about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Beginning from Galilee to this place, Pilate sent him to Herod. He was also at Jerusalem at this particular time. He wanted to see Jesus do miracles. Herod was like everybody else. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He treated Jesus like people do a magician. He just wanted to see Jesus do a trick, or what he called a trick. Jesus didn't do tricks. He did miracles and raised the dead and saved souls. Jesus shed his precious blood and died on the old rugged cross and rose again for a whole lost and dying world. They mocked Jesus. Pilate and Herod, at this particular point, became friends. They wanted Jesus crucified. At the feast, they were given a choice who to let go, Jesus or Barabbas. They chose Barabbas to turn loose. Pilate gave the sentence the people wanted. They led Jesus away. Jesus carried his own cross to a certain point. Simon a Cyrenian was coming out of the country. They laid Jesus' cross on him. Our Lord was weakened by the trouble and agitation of the past sleepless night and was, of course, faint and utterly exhausted from the effects of the terrible scourging. The Lord suffered beyond what we could think or dream of. There followed a great many men and women, which also bewailed and lamented him. The rest of the company was made up of the usual concourse of curious lookers-on of disciples and others who had heard him in the past days and now came with much horror to see the end. The women especially consisted mostly, no doubt, of holy women of his own company, such as the Marys, together with some of those kindly Jerusalem ladies who were in the habit of soothing the last hours of the condemned ones. Jesus spoke to those who followed him, such as the Marys and Peter and the disciple he loved. He said, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. He also spoke from the cross. He also spoke on the way to the cross. Blessed are the barren. He spoke this to the women of Israel. They will call for the mountains to fall on them and the hills to cover them. There were two others crucified with Jesus. Jesus was crucified on a hill called Mount Calvary. That the Bible gives the meaning of it, the place of a skull. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They parted his garments and cast lots. The rough soldiers were treating the master as already dead and were disposing of his raiment of which they had stripped him before fastening or nailing him to the cross. He was hanging there, naked, exposed to the sun and wind. Part of his raiment was torn asunder. Part they drew lots for to see who was to wear it. The garments of the crucified became the property of the soldiers who carried out the sentence. Every cross was guarded by a guard of four soldiers. And the two men that were crucified with Jesus railed on him. And the soldiers mocked him and offered him vinegar. They offered him vinegar mingled with gall. Jesus tasted it but wouldn't drink it. It was a numbing agent. He wanted to feel all the pain and agony. There was a superscription above his head. It was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." At first, both of the men that were crucified with him railed on him. But one of them had a change of heart and mind. He got saved. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said unto him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, the duration of the darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The veil of the temple was rent in the midst. "It is finished," Jesus said. "It is finished," Jesus said this. He gave up the ghost. The centurion saw what was done. He glorified God and said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." He was more than just a righteous man. He was God. Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body of Jesus. He buried Jesus in his tomb. They went back to the sepulcher and Jesus' body was not there. He had risen. You might ask, why was it so important that Jesus arose? If he had not arose, we would still be in our sins. See, that's how important that is. And I'm going to tell you a little sidebar to that. How many of you remember the movie Passion of the Christ? Okay. I don't know where I heard this from, but here it is. Everybody knows who the actor Mel Gibson is. Mel produced and directed this movie. Well, just so, now, it's a funny thing to think about. Mel Gibson's a Catholic, but he had a Baptist preacher friend. He sent that man a trailer of the movie before it came out. And they say the preacher got, when he got the movie, he popped it in his VCR. Now, that's before DVDs. But anyway, the preacher popped it in his VCR, and he looked at it. Do you know what Mel Gibson was going to do to end that movie? When Jesus died, when they took him down from the cross, they buried him. There was no resurrection in that movie. The Baptist preacher got on the phone. He called Mel Gibson, and Mel's secretary answered the phone. She said, "Yes, can I help you?" That preacher said, "I want to talk to Mel Gibson." And she said, "Well, he's busy." He said, "Well, that don't matter." Said, "I want to talk to him right now." And I guess the woman heard the seriousness in that preacher's voice. He said, when Mel got on the phone, he said, "Now, let me tell you something." He said, "I'm not trying to get on you." But he said, you have left a very important part out of that movie. And he said, "I know," he said, "I know you're Catholic." But he said, "You cannot put that movie out with an ending like that. You're going to have to go back and put the resurrection in there. And he said, this movie is going to affect a lot of people. He said, you better get it right. And Mel Gibson heard what that preacher said, and that's what he did. He went back and put it in, and there's a lot of people got saved because of that movie. But there ain't no telling what kind of mess it would have been if that preacher hadn't got a hold of it. Because he called Mel Gibson right when he looked at it. Now we're going to take a little look at the gospel here. The gospel is talked about in Revelation 14, verse 6. What is the gospel? It's the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of grace, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The everlasting gospel. He offered himself without spot. See, he is perfect. He was perfect. He didn't do it, as I said earlier, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't say anything wrong. He didn't look at a woman in the wrong way. He did not say a thing. He didn't threaten them people. He did not say, I'm going to get even with you for crucifying me. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, and you know, we as Christians, we sometimes lose our temper. Yes, we do. And when people do ugly things to us, that's the way I put it. When people do ugly things to us, we want to get even. But we can't handle it like that. We're not supposed to. He never uttered a wrong thing or thought a wrong thought. We are to purge our conscience from dead works. That's out of Hebrews 9, verse 4. We're to glorify God. The hour has come that the Son of God, a Son of Man, should be glorified. Jesus said, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. The path leads us to the way of the cross, but it will also take us to the resurrection of the empty tomb. John 12, verses 1 through 50. When we get saved, we make peace with God. And a lot of people might wonder, well, why do we have to make peace with God? Because, let me tell you, we used to belong to the devil. And that's how we make peace with God. When we get saved, we make peace with him. And then the devil becomes our enemy. And he is our peace. Talks about to renew them again. That's renew us. See, when you reach the age of accountability, your spirit will lie dormant. And that's why they call it regeneration. When the Holy Ghost comes in there, he regenerates that spirit. That's what he does. We're made new. We're made over again. We must crucify ourselves to God. Hebrews 6, verse 6. We must submit to him. When he was crucified, Jesus was put to an open shame. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 6. He is to rule and reign in our lives. Revelation 2, verse 27. He will rule as a shepherd. See, in the Bible, it refers to us as sheep. And a lot of people don't know what sheep do. Here, let's say I'm a shepherd, and I got sheep. And say, right over at that wall, big water. Them sheep, their heads are always down. They never look up. I heard somebody tell me one time that a sheep could be 50 foot from water and die first because they don't lift their head up. They're not looking. They got their head down on the ground. That's us. That's us. Sometimes we do what we want to do. See, if they didn't have a shepherd, they would die. They would die. We got to submit to him. And in the word of God, he calls himself a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Shall they be broken by God's sovereign power. Jesus had refused the kingdom without the cross. He would receive it from none but the Father. when Jesus was being tempted by Satan out in the wilderness, Satan told Jesus that if Jesus would worship him, he would give, because he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He would give him the kingdoms of the world. Of course, Jesus refused. There were many Aaronic high priests. That's out of Hebrews 7, verse 23 through 28. And he is called, and I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, the priest king. See, he is our Lord and Savior, but he is supposed to be our king too. But this man, etc., this is referring to Jesus. Christ was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He, upon his priesthood, he lives forever. And hence, there is no change of his priesthood. And I'll go a step further. There's no change in this. If you are reading and studying this, King James Bible, there's no change. But you got these other things out here that people are trying to use. And I'll name a name here, Charles Stanley. As much as I love to hear Charles Stanley teach, I'm going to have to quit listening. Because he uses the Amplified Bible, and he is also promoting the NIV. So I'm going to have to, as much as I used to love to hear Dr. Stanley teach, now I'm through with that because I'm not listening to the right stuff. He has the power of an endless life. He is not frail, mortal like us, and he can save to the uttermost. He does not have to sacrifice for himself. He died for a whole lost and dying world once. That's all it took. He doesn't have to do it again. He is spotless and divine. He is perfect. He is our eternal priest. Who being the brightness of his glory, Hebrews 1 verse 3. He's our redeemer, our bright light, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, by himself, not by the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats or anything else, but by his own blood, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high of God. Unity of sanctifier and sanctified, Hebrews 2 verses 11 through 13. We are one with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with him. See, that's the difference in anything else. All these world religions, the difference between them and Christianity is this. We have a relationship. They don't. No matter what they do, they're not going to please whoever. But see, that's the difference. We have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not ashamed to call us his children. He has restored us. He has redeemed us. We are joint heirs with him. Now the preaching of the gospel of the cross, the preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. It was an instrument used to crucify him. That's what the cross was. To them that are perishing, foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. The riches of the glory of God. God manifests to these how abundantly glorious this gospel is among the Gentiles, and how effectual is this doctrine of Christ crucified to the salvation of these multitudes, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sum and substance of preaching God's word. Preach Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Christ is in us. The design of the gospel is to put us in possession of the Spirit and power of Christ, partakers of his divine nature, prepare for eternal union with himself, Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ, the hope of glory. The only way we have a pardon is through the blood of his cross. We see the manner in which the apostles preached. Jews and Gentiles were under sin. The wrath of God was revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Life and time were uncertain. Today is the day of salvation. A righteousness suited to the throne of God. Yea, the righteousness of the throne. It doesn't vary or fail. God never changes. He will always be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The will of God, the steadfast will of God. We as his people must stand steadfast. When we repent and confess our sins, we can have fellowship with him. The Holy Ghost bears witness. He will remember the sin no more. We have a great high priest over the house of God. He puts our sins under the blood, past, present, and future. We are not to be ashamed of the cross. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Great faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. We have victory in Jesus. We have an altar, the cross of Christ, on which he was crucified. Christ himself, who is the altar, sacrifice, and priest. He was typified by the altar, a burnt offering, and the sacrifice that was offered upon it. The altar was made of shittim wood and covered with brass, denoting the incorruptibleness and duration and strength of Jesus Christ. The horns of the altar at the four corners were for refuge. Whoever fled to it and laid hold on them were safe. We are safe with Christ Jesus. We are strong with Christ Jesus. We are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. We are saved by Christ Jesus. He's the only one. There's none other. And I hope you got something out of that. I really like that. Not because I preached it, because I didn't preach it. God led me to that. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes right now. If there's anyone that needs to come to the altar's open. Okay. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house.